Savior and Lord. We continue our Lenten Holy Week journey to the cross and empty tomb. We began Holy Week on Sunday with our Palm Sunday procession, Jesus riding into Jerusalem. We've been working our way through the Gospel of John Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and now on Maundy Thursday, perhaps the most busy or laden day in the life of our Lord Jesus. You see so many things happening here today. And this gives way to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus on Calvary's cross. The service will end in a very silent and austere way. The stripping of the altar is a traditional Maundy Thursday thing. And Pastor Russer has my microphone, so I'm just talking loud. Okay. The stripping of the altar on Maundy Thursday is a tradition, reminds us of the treatment that our Lord and Savior endured at the end of this particular day. So at the end of our service, we will end with the stripping of the altar. The congregation will be speaking God's word back and forth in the Psalms, and then we'll leave in silence. So there will be no benediction tonight because our service doesn't really end. It will continue tomorrow at 12:15 with our Good Friday Treyor service, focusing on the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. That will continue with our Tenebrae service of darkness tomorrow night at 7:30. And that will continue and conclude the special 3 days of Triduum with our Easter Vigil service Saturday night at 6 o'clock. On Sunday morning, we'll gather at 6 for the sunrise service, 8:30 and 10:30 for our Vine services. 6 o'clock service will be broadcast live on KFOR, and you know about our own radio station, which has most of our worship services broadcast live as well. We pray that God will richly bless us as we continue our Holy Week journey. Tonight, we focus on a simple word, and that word is love. A couple of words on our worship service tonight. Our opening hymn is a beautiful Maundy Thursday hymn recounting many of the events of this day, 445, when you woke that Thursday morning. Following that opening hymn, we'll begin our service tonight as we did on Ash Wednesday with the expanded or the corporate confession and absolution. And don't be thrown off. There is a special exhortation for Maundy Thursday that you will hear as part of that service. Following that corporate confession and absolution, we'll pick up Divine Service Setting 1 with the Salutation and Collect on page 156. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We'll still follow the red pens and responses. And before we sing that hymn, let's bow our heads for the word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. Payment. Full payment for our sin. Heavenly Father, the world has never seen such a gift of love, Lord God, as you have loved us in Jesus Christ. Teach us to love one another. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, love incarnate, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hymn 445. Thank you.
The Order of Corporate Confession and Absolution, page 290. Page 290, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God. To God, my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
You may be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that prevents us from trusting in God and loving one another. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night when He instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for our special comfort, the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, He became man so that He might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God and, to deliver us, took upon Himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we might more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you." It is as if He had said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you My body to eat." In the same way also He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if He said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into Myself all your iniquities. I give Myself into death, shedding My blood to obtain grace and the forgiveness of sins, to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness of sins and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you My blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life." We should also do this in remembrance of Him, showing His death, that He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving to Him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow Him. And, according to this commandment, love one another as He has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing His disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from this one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and the one bread from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of Him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and Merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. We stand. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness that I speak is not my forgiveness but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, Himself, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
We turn to page 156 for the salutation and collect of the day.
Let us pray. O Lord, in the wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion, grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the scripture readings. The Old Testament reading, according to Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, and lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male or a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast it on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have turned every one to Him. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, do you wash My feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For He knew who was to betray Him. That was why He said, "Not all of you are clean." When He had washed their feet, and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all
Please be seated.
Thank you. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the gospel reading that we heard a moment ago, the first 15 verses of John chapter 13, especially these words. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, He loved them to the end. God's Word talks a lot about love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We have a lot of activity going on, a lot of loving activity going on Maundy Thursday. We have Jesus and the disciples gathering together in the upper room, preparing for the Passover meal. We have Jesus celebrating this last Paschal meal with the disciples. We have Jesus at the end of the supper, instituting a new meal, the Lord's Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. We also have the events, the very sad events of sin and greed and betrayal. Jesus prays His high priestly prayer recorded for us in the next three chapters of John, praying not only for His disciples then, but for His disciples now, for you and for me and for all who call on Christ throughout the world, past, present, and future. At the conclusion, Jesus leads the disciples out. He leads them across the brook Kidron, singing a hymn. He leads them to the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch with me for just a while I pray, but their eyes are heavy and they sleep. Three go with Him even farther into the garden, and with great drops of bloody sweat, our Lord and Savior bearing the sin, the weight, the agony, the anguish of all sin, yours and mine, on Himself. Jesus prays, if there's any other way, Lord, any other way, aside from death on the cross, take this cup from me. And Jesus prays, not my will, but Thy will be done. He's arrested, betrayed by a kiss, led by a ragtag army to a kangaroo court where He is mocked and beaten and sentenced to death. All of these things take place on Maundy Thursday. And of all these wonderful and important activities that happen, what do we have recorded for us in our gospel reading for tonight? What is the standard gospel reading for Maundy Thursday and has been for nearly 2,000 years? John chapter 13. The foot washing of Jesus. Now we know there have been some silly kind of traditions that have popped up from this. Some people who despise the Lord's Supper have tried to turn foot washing into some kind of a sacrament. Nowhere does Christ command us to continue that particular act. Some churches get cute, and the pastor on Maundy Thursday will select 12 people out of the congregation, best to warn them so their feet are already clean, and bring them forward and wash their feet. But this is no cute game, and this is not a sacrament that Christ has given us for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, in humility, Jesus, in love, loving them and loving us to the end, takes on the role of a servant, the lowest of the low, the most despicable job you can think of, washing somebody's dirty, stinky feet. Peter realizes how silly this notion is of Jesus, God in the flesh, King of kings, Lord of lords, washing His feet, and He tries to stop Him. But Jesus says, no. If I don't wash you, you have no part of Me. And then bold, impetuous Peter, just like us, thinks he has better words than the Lord's word. Well, then not just my feet, but my head, my whole body, under my arms, every place. Jesus says, no. Just listen to my words and watch what I do. You hear that? Listen to my words and watch what I do. My friends, Jesus, loving to the end, Jesus in humility, Jesus in self-sacrifice, Jesus in servanthood, our suffering servant, washes the disciples' feet. And then He says, do you understand what I have done to you? Well, clearly they didn't. You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Jesus says, this example of humility and love, this example of humble, sacrificial service, this is what I have done for you, and this is now how you are to live your life in Me. Imagine that. Jesus teaching us how to love? We are masters at it. We are experts at it. There is nobody that loves Me more than Me. We often worship at the altar of me, myself, and I. We know how to love, don't we? And we will stomp on anybody or anything that gets in the way. Oh, we'll pay lip service to the first commandment. But to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, that's the farthest thing from the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. Jesus says, just as I have done to you. What has He done to us and for us? He has loved us to the end. My friends, do you see that it was love that prompted Jesus to take on flesh and blood and make His dwelling among us? It was love that prompted Jesus to place Himself under God's holy law, fulfilling it perfectly for us. It was love that gathered the disciples together for this last Paschal feast, the Passover, teaching them, loving them, showing them that the Passover lamb was standing right there in front of them. It was love that prompted Jesus to institute a new meal because He knows how difficult the journey of life is. This is My body. This is My blood given and shed for you for forgiveness, life, and salvation. It was love that prompted Jesus to pray that high priestly prayer, concerned even then about your salvation and your walk with Him right now. It was love that prompted Jesus to lead the disciples in procession across the brook Kidron. The brook Kidron, where the blood from the animals that were sacrificed in the temple ran like a sanitary sewer. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. One final offering, crossing over that blood-stained water and singing a hymn while He did it, teaching us that even in the midst of our suffering, we can sing our praises to God. It was love that prompted Jesus to pray in the garden. Not my will, but Thy will be done. It was love that prompted Jesus, when He is betrayed and arrested, to hold back and to not call down legions of angels to strike them dead. And in the midst of this chaotic riot that is taking place, when Peter, in his misplaced zeal, chops off the high priest's servant's ear, it was love that prompted Jesus to reach down and pick up that severed ear and heal Malchus. It was love that allowed Jesus to be sentenced to death on our behalf. It was love that allowed Jesus to be nailed to an old rugged cross. It was not nails that kept Him there. It was His love for you and for me and for the life of the world. And it was love that raised Jesus from the dead 3 days later, proving that He would love us to the end. My friends, His love does not stop with the historical events of Holy Week. His love continues to the end. His love continues even now. It is His love that delivers the deliverance, delivering Good Friday and Easter to you in the waters of holy baptism, waters of life, waters of regeneration. Waters that robe you with the righteousness of Christ. It is the love of Christ that was spoken into your ears just moments ago by a called servant of the Word. Yes, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. It is love that feeds us. The very body broken and blood shed of the God-man Jesus, putting forgiveness and life into our mouth, pumping in our veins, giving us the promise that as we eat the flesh and blood of Jesus, we will live forever. The very medicine of immortality. This is love in action. My friends, as Christ has loved us, with an everlasting, ongoing, enduring love that will never end. Jesus says, "My son, my daughter, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." Love somebody else besides myself? That's so foreign to my ears. But God has given me a new identity. The love of Jesus in our lives, in our hearts. The love of Jesus moves us to humility and sacrificial service and love. The love of Jesus in us drives us to our knees when our thoughts, words, and deeds are less loving than God demands. It is the love of Jesus in us that helps us to see the need, the pain, the suffering, and even the joy of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to share and bear it with them. It is the love of Jesus in us that will help us reconcile. Reconcile in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our church. It is the love of Jesus in us that will give us the words to build up rather than to tear down. The love of Jesus in us will manifest itself in us in a humble service that, while not literally washing one another's feet, we will count the needs and the hurts and the sorrows of others more than our own. My friends, today, on this Maundy Thursday, see God's love in action for you in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. No, that won't do tonight. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that as you believe in Him, you will not perish, but have life everlasting. This is God's guarantee of love for you, sealed with the very blood of Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christ has loved you, may God move us to love one another. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus has invited us to pray. Jesus promises that He will hear us and answer us. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able.
Give you thanks for all of your love that fills us, that sustains us each and every day. The love that sent your Son to save us from our sins. The love that sent Him to the cross. The love that hung Him there for the price of the sin of the world. Help us to show forth that love in our lives. Lives wholly given to You and to Your service. Lord, in Your mercy, sanctify our homes with Your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. We especially pray for all of our confirmands. We beg You, O Lord, that You would keep them firm in the true faith until life everlasting. We pray, O Lord, that You would enable them to give the bold confession on this Saturday evening. Lord, in Your mercy, by Your Word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Jerry, Celeste, Maureen, Ed, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Diane, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Carl and Callie, Warren, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge, Paris, Kristen, Desi, Kimberly, Raleigh, Bob, Cassie, Carolyn, and Sharon. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith here and around the world. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, especially the family of Doug, the family of Genevieve, who passed away, the family of Levon, who passed away as well, to Jay and Lindsay, to the family of Melissa Macklin, whose grandfather was taken to his eternal home, and for the family of Brett, who was taken to his eternal home. Grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated. We stand and sing the offertory, page 159, 159.
Thank you.
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again. And that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heart and light, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your Word and Spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. And God, you take the Lord.
Thank you.
Now let's true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165.